Hey, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to give you a practical demonstration of the best way to approach a scene. I'll explain. I've spoken quite a bit about the information that I feel is essential to be able to approach a scene. I talk a lot about all the things that you really shouldn't worry about. And then in contrast, the most important things to be aware of that most actors aren't. And I've decided that I'm going to take you through a scene today that I was working on recently in my LA scene study classes. And as I traveled to Toronto, some of the actors worked on the same scene there. And also in New York City. It's one of the new scenes that's kind of come to my attention. And I find it to be a great exercise. It is called Farragut North, and it's by Beau Willimon. In this particular scene, there are two characters, Tom and Steve. Tom is coming to visit Steve in what seems to be a restaurant that would have a bar. And Steve is waiting on Tom, and as the scene starts, Tom walks in. Now, what I want to do in this podcast is I want to talk you through it, just like I was rehearsing you in the scene and asking you to act in it. I'm going to give you the part of Steve. Steven in this scenario could be anyone. It could be a man or a woman, and you work for a politician, right now actually a Democrat, and you're trying to get him to win, and the other character, Tom, is working for a different Democrat, and so you two guys, while you work for the same party, in a sense, are working for different people, and so you are in competition. And this is politics, and we know from present-day situations, all sorts of tricks are played. I mean, my goodness, we've all heard plenty of stories. We know there's a lot of backstabbing and all sorts of shenanigans going on. So in this particular scene, whether you're a man or a woman, I want you to imagine you're playing this part of Stephen. And so you're coming into this meeting. The other character, Tom, has called you in saying that it's very important. Now, you don't know any backstory. This is what I've told you so far. And I want to take you through the scene and tell you what happens. And I'm going to ask you questions. And we're going to discuss what is theoretically going on for the actor at these moments. Also, I'm not going to give you any backstory. I'm not going to tell you anything other, and I just want you to think about this, okay? So right now, I want you to imagine that you are some political operative, okay? You work for a competing candidate, and you are very good at what you do. The scene starts with you walking into the restaurant, meeting this competitor, okay? So, without knowing any backstory at all, and me just having told you that, let's first of all talk about what you'd probably be wearing. What could we imagine? You'd have some sort of professional situation going on if you were a man. Could we imagine you're in some sort of button-down shirt, probably a tie, and wearing a jacket, right? And if you were a woman, you're dressed equally, kind of office officially, and you're looking like the person, right? I mean, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? We don't have to dig too deep or make up any kind of backstory for that. That's probably how you'd come into it. Anyway, it's a good first guess, yes? So now you're coming into the restaurant to meet this person, and this person, Tom, has told you that he has some very important news. Something very important he has to talk to you about. Now, here's how I work with an actor. I would ask you this. I'd say, okay, you've decided to show up to the meeting, okay? So right off the bat, all right, why did you do that? Why did you consent to showing up at a meeting? Now, let's assume this is a little out of the ordinary, and quite honestly, the dialogue lends itself to that. Tom, at various points, asks you, for instance, what you'd like to drink. Do you want scotch? You just order a Coke. He tells you that, look, don't worry, no one's here, no one can see you, I see you looking around, don't worry, I wouldn't bring us to a place where we could be seen. That's really happens in the first page. So I would ask you as an actor, if I was working with you, directing you, or in class, I'd say, What do you think all that means? What are you able to extract from that little bit of information? So far, we know you're a political operative. So far, we know you're working for a candidate that's in competition with this person. So far, we know this person has asked you to come for a meeting that's very important. It's something important he has to talk to you about. Okay, so now with me adding this business of your character looking around and him trying to calm you by saying, I wouldn't bring you to one of those places. Could we imagine then that in this world, in this particular situation, it wouldn't look good if you two were together? That makes sense, right? You're working for one candidate, he's working for the other, you're in stiff competition, you're at a bar somewhere, maybe some TMZ person takes a picture of you two. They could take that thing and spin it into maybe you're jumping sides, you're joining the other side, you're sharing important information, right? Why would the other character say things like, calm down, I wouldn't bring you to a place where we could be seen, stop looking around? Why would they say that? Does that make sense to you so far? What about this business of being offered something to drink and you decline a couple of times and then finally acquiesce and just say, I'll have a Coke? What does that say, do you think? I must tell you that when you walk in, one of the first things you say to the other character is, I've got a meeting in 20 minutes. Now let's start to bring all this together. You see, this is how I work. I look at that, I say, okay, you've got a meeting in 20 minutes. You shouldn't be seen with this person. You know what I think? Whether you have a meeting in 20 minutes or whether or not you're making it up, it doesn't really matter. What you've done is you've laid the groundwork to let him know this has to be expeditious. You don't want to spend much time with him. You don't know what this is about, but, you know, you've got other things you need to do. This is not going to be a long, drawn-out meeting. I have places I have to go. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you're definitely laying that out. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us you're wary. You wonder about this person. You're busy. You don't have a lot of time, even if this is a true meeting. You're laying down the ground rules in this, what is a slightly odd request in meeting. Now, you see, this would beg the question. The next thing I would ask you is then, well, if that's the case, why are you here? If you're afraid of being seen, if you don't want to have scotch and be seen, now granted, you might indeed have a meeting in 20 minutes, and, you know, unless this is Mad Men times, you're not drinking scotches before those meetings. These are very tough political times, and you're trying to get your candidate to win. So that would all make sense. But you make a point to say, I've got a meeting in 20 minutes. You know you shouldn't be here based on the dialogue about don't worry, don't quit looking around. So then it begs the question, why did you show up? Why are you here? He said it's important. So what could be that important? Obviously, what could be that important would be something that could affect the outcome of the race, right? If somebody says something's important and this person is wanting to speak to you and you're representing this other politician, well, it seemed to me what would drive you to want to go there is what kind of important? You know what happens, right? Suddenly there's a P-tape. There's some kind of information that might hurt your client. It could be anything. It could be something from their childhood. There's pictures of him or her doing cocaine. You know, they were at a wild party. You've got some information about, some underhand deal they did. I mean, there are, if you think about it, a lot of reasons why it would really be imperative to be at this meeting, right? What are you going on? You're going on the person who's requesting the meeting's professionalism. If they say it's important, my goodness, it probably is, it may be, and so you better go. So now what do we know? You're representing someone else. You can't be here this long. You don't really want to be seen with this person. And you're here to see what is this information that could be damning, right? Now, if I just told you that as an actor and I put you in some professional clothing and I said, walk into the scene, and I said, you're here because this person said they had important information and you're thinking, you better go, because if it's something that's going to perhaps alter the outcome of this race, you need to go find out about it. Now, you can imagine in real life, right? You might be a little nervous. You might be apprehensive. You might be curious. You might be many things. You certainly would want to know what's going on, right? Now, let's talk about how you're at the table. You know, some of the actors that I worked with, and I just have been doing this scene here in Los Angeles, as I mentioned, and Toronto and New York, the character playing your part would sometimes put elbows on the table and kind of lean in. And I quickly said, think about that. Think about that. What if there was someone taking pictures? I mean, just because this person says, no, 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 there isn't, doesn't mean there isn't. You know how politics are. So imagine the visual of you on the table, elbows. Imagine having a scotch instead of a Coca-Cola, which is what you end up ordering. Imagine the scotch sitting in front of you, leaned over the table, a picture. You know what? That could be spun into they're conspiring. But a Coca-Cola, and you lean back in the chair, just comfortably sitting in the chair, hands in your lap. You see, that looks removed. That looks reticent, doesn't it? Now, I don't bring that up as an image, always use that, but I think if you thought about it, you would instinctively sit at a table like that if that's what was going on and you knew this situation, which is right there in the lines. So now you're sitting at the table, you're leaned back, you've ordered a Coke, and you're here to get the information. And Tom starts up talking about, well, how he's been eating three squares. You know, this thing has been a lot on him. It's been wearing on him. He's not young anymore, you know, not like you are. He has to, you know, really look after himself because he can't keep up with the pace, la, la, la. And what would you be thinking? Well, you'd know that that wasn't why he called you here. You would know that he was basically making small talk that one does before they get right to it. And then finally you say, look, you know, on the phone, you said something was important. I'm here. You know, you basically get him to get to it. And he lays it out for you. He says you're working for the wrong guy. You say that's funny, and then he goes on to tell you how incredibly smart you are and how, you know, he's never seen anybody quite like you and how you've got so much on the ball. And, you know, he just keeps going on and on and on to the point that it makes you say, look, if you're trying to poach me, it's not going to work. Now, at that point, I would stop the actor and I would say, so what do you think now? So first of all, you sat down and you were actively listening, right? That phrase I like to use. You're not just listening, but you're listening with the intention of what is this important thing that he wanted me to hear? And as it starts to roll out and you hear him giving you compliments and going on about how, you know, much potential you have, you realize that he is trying to poach you, trying to get you to come to his side. He says that you're working for the wrong person. And you say, you know what, give it up. It's no good. I like to ask the actor at that point, as I might a person in real life, if I was really trying to investigate how we really feel about things or how actually keen we are in life, in the way that we can understand what's going on and we know where that positions us. I ask the actor, how do you feel now that you know you're being poached? Think about it. What would you think about that? So you came here because you were afraid maybe there was some information. And remember, what is key in your life right now is getting your candidate to win. So an opposing faction asks you to come over. You're waiting to hear what might be some horrible news, something they've dug up. And it turns into them fawning on you, this person fawning on you, and then trying to get you to come to their side. And so how would that make you feel? What would you think? See, this is what I'm interested in actors, having real thoughts. Wouldn't you feel relief? Wouldn't you not only feel relief, but think you've got the upper hand potentially? Because think about it. Why does the winning team need to get one of the other players from the losing team to come over and be on the winning team? What's the point? If the team is winning, why do they need to poach players from the opposing team? If it were me, I would think, oh, wow, not only is there nothing for me to worry about, but there's something for me to be happy about. This fellow, he has just revealed his hand and he's decided that he needs me on his side. Now, you see, for that moment, I would feel quite powerful. I would realize, oh my goodness, I came here thinking that perhaps the worst thing could be going on, something bad about my client and the person that I'm representing. And then as it turns out, he's just trying to poach me. They're desperate. They're trying to get me. But then he says, you're going to lose in Iowa. And you say, bullshit. And he says, look inside. And he hands you a file. And in the file, you start reading. And your response is, so you're telling me every other poll on the planet is off? And he says, exactly. Then he goes to explain this intricate system of how they've made it look like they're behind, but what's about to happen is they're going to now pull some strings and it's going to look like they're suddenly ahead. What I like to ask the actor now is, what would you, if you were a person, be thinking right now? You come in a quandary, wondering what's going on, kind of watching your six, making sure there's no shenanigans, you know, keeping very conservative. You're there as a professional. You're obviously there on a mission. Is there something bad? Does he have something? What is important? You're finding out you're being poached. You think, oh, wow, this is amazing. They must have a lousy hand. They're trying to get me to come over to their side. Then he tells you that you're going to lose in Iowa, you see, and then all of a sudden, he throws down this folder which shows that you're actually behind in the polls and that they have been rigging the system. And then he explains it to you, and it is quite elaborate. I ask the actor right then, what would you be thinking? And sometimes the response is wondering if he's telling the truth. My sense there, you're a real human being, you're a smart person. Truth? No, I think the number one thing you'd be listening for and thinking about is all of this stuff that this guy is saying is going on, could it actually be possible? I mean, isn't that what you'd first be thinking? Could what this crazy plan that he's laying out, how precinct captains are actually working for them, how they're fudging these particular numbers, and when you add it all up, that's 10% of the vote, and that 10% is going to make the difference, and you're going to lose, and we're going to gain momentum coming out of Iowa. And, you know, as you're listening to this, doesn't it make sense that you just be actively listening, thinking, everything they're laying out, is that possible? Now, you're still leaned back in your chair. You're still sitting there in your professional outfit. You still only have a Coke at the table. You've come here for that right reason. And then as you were tricked into thinking for a second that this was all in your favor, you realize that, no, actually, there's something going on behind the scenes. And now you are consumed with the thought, could this possibly be true? Not only does he continue to point it out, and at every turn, everything you say, he's got an answer for. Not only does he continue to make it more and more plausible, but then he says, you need to make a decision. Because this guy's going down. And once he goes down, this Tom guy is going to make sure you never work anywhere again. And he says, if you wait till after it's decided, you're just going to look like a loser who's trying to bounce back by getting a job for the other side. It's not going to work. You have to do it now. You have to jump now. And every time you tell him this or that, he's got an answer. And the things that he's saying about your candidate and what's going on, you'd be listening to, and the way it's laid out in the script, it all seems plausible. Now, would you be wondering if this other fella were telling you the truth? Inasmuch as you'd be weighing out everything that he says that he's doing and did and wonder if it is in fact plausible. Now, do you have to have some kind of backstory political knowledge to be able to play these parts. I swear, I don't think you do. I think if you read the script and you listened to what was being said to you, it's not like some sort of technical jargon is being used. He's talking about how people are lying, how many people, multiply the numbers. You know, it's stuff that a layman could crunch and listen to and wonder whether or not is in fact plausible. And quite frankly, as it's laid out, it not only seems plausible, but it seems probable. That's the other kind of creepy thing about the script, is that it's so timely that you just know, as you're listening to the way the guy lays it out, that this is probably how elections are bent. So now you're stuck with this, you see. And as you get up in a grand stand move to say, forget it, I'm out of here. This guy's my friend. He lays out, okay, do you want friends or do you want to work for the White House? And he tells you to think about it, but you're going to have to make a decision quick, because if you make it too late, you're going to be done. You're never going to work again. Now, listen to all that. Don't you, as I'm explaining it to you, don't you just get a sense how you could just do all this? How, in fact, in the way that I've laid it out for you, doesn't it seem kind of easy to follow? So then all you need to do, you see, really, is you put on the outfit, you show up to the restaurant, you sit in the seat, you make sure not to look like you're engaged, you nurse your Coca-Cola, you listen intently on what it is he has, you make a guess about where you think it's going, all of a sudden it flips, and you realize that he's there to tell you that your candidate has actually been gutted and you didn't realize it. You're going to lose, and he wants you to be part of a winning team, and if you don't take his offer and become a part, after your candidate loses, there's going to be a pox upon you. You're never going to work again. Can't you get all that? Couldn't you as an actor just play that? Don't you understand that? Isn't that clear to you? Now, as you listen to all that, don't you see how you could easily follow that logic and play this scene? You see, my theory is that I notice the actor is far more artistic, takes more chances, has more spontaneity and spontaneous, authentic things happening in a scene when they just have the most pertinent information and then go with it. Because you see, the more things that you've set for yourself, the more action verbs, the more beats, the more whatever it is that you've laid out that you've somehow been made to believe or believe that the more you have, the thicker, the more dense your work will be. No, what you're doing is, while you're trying to pursue what I've laid out for you, you're also juggling, you know, like 8, 12, 15 acting balls in your head, and you're trying to keep them in the air while you do. I don't understand. You come in a professional outfit. You follow the logic here. You say these lines. You concern yourself with the opposing person's statements and facts, and you just allow the scene to play out as it would in life. I don't get it. What is missing? What is it? So if you have a backstory, then what happens? How does it change how you were going to approach the work? Why? Because now you know, What? Hey, look, all that stuff's great. It's just extra credit. That's all. You need to know what it is you're saying. You need to know what's being said to you. You need to know the things a human being would know in the situation. And then you need to know the simplest logic that you're trying to follow. And I think that gives the actor the most latitude, you see. I'm not stuck with anything but pursuing the logic, the reason why I'm here, and allowing it to unfold and my intuition to work, you know, my guess at what's happening next, my feeling about where I think it's going, who's winning, who's losing, my sense of logic as I just sit there in real time trying to weigh out what's being told me and what's going on. Now, great thing about this approach is it doesn't ask you to make sure the audience gets it, you see, because here's what I know. If you pursue this just just simply and as logically as I've laid it out for you, guess what? We figure it out. We figure it out because, first of all, we're following the script. You guys are all saying the lines, and, you know, we're relatively smart people, so we can follow what's going on. But what's great is all you're doing is pursuing logic. You're just actively listening and pursuing logic. And when you do that, you see, we're no longer watching an actor. We're watching a human being pursuing scenes and their needs and trying to get information and the truth the same way humans do it, with no added acting mayonnaise, no nonsense. What are you working out? What is it you need to work out? What? How you say line 13? What is it? You want to practice that one because you want to make sure you go up, but not too up at the end, then a little down, and then just kind of stare down at the ground real fast. Because that's really cool, because that you came up with that in your living room and your cat looked up when you did it, so it must be great. What is this bullshit acting stuff? You know, we go through entire scenes, entire rehearsals, entire classes, and I never use an acting term. I never talk about acting. This stuff has nothing to do with acting. You just need to know what you're saying and what the other person is saying to you and what you're doing there and why. And basically, that's it. But you have to be able to sit and in real time get yourself to be as keen as you are in life. And you see, this is the big problem I see in actors. I'll ask the simplest questions and they'll try and come up with the trickiest answers instead of the most logical stuff like, okay, you're being poached. What does that mean? It means that we're holding a higher hand than that person is, because why would they be poaching me if they didn't need me on their side? What you don't know and what you couldn't imagine is that you're actually such a golden child, someone who is so good at your job, that this guy is actually doing you the favor of speaking to you, telling you what's about to happen, and poaching you before your ship gets blasted and sinks, at which point you will be useless in the industry because you'll look like a loser who had no intuition about what was coming. That's what you didn't expect. But see, here in now finally is kind of the screw in it, you see, and this is what I think a person might think as well. As you're leaving this meeting, and it all really feels like, you know, this guy is giving you the straight dope. I mean, you think about it, it could happen. He's saying it all with a very straight face. It is quite plausible. You know, TikTok, what are you going to do? I think any smart person, human being, would walk away thinking this thought in addition, which adds to the great conflict and the conundrum, and that is, what if everything he said, while factual, while could happen, isn't happening, and that his play to get your candidate to topple is actually the single move of tricking you into jumping ship and coming to him, because that act alone might be the piece that brings your candidate's house down, you see? In other words, all of that great argument, all of that great, you know, here's what's happening, here's how we've tricked the system, was merely a ploy to get you antsy enough to jump ship, and it's you jumping ship that actually does it. It's not all that other stuff that they just made up. Now, in real life, that's the kind of conundrum a person thinks about. It has nothing to do with acting. You don't think, I'm going to play opposite on line 7, and then on line 12, I'll play an unopposite. And it'll like totally, man, no one's going to expect an unopposite. Come on, come on. Stop with this bullshit. It's such nonsense, this acting crap. Know what you're talking about and pursue it. That's it. Stop. You want to, after you know this, what I've talked about, if I can ask you these simple questions and you can actually answer them as quickly as a human would, hey, then at that point, if you want to go off and write a little backstory and then, you know, and then find that undershirt at a thrift shop that when you put it on underneath the costume they give you, it really makes you feel like that guy, fine, do it. Do it. And get your shoes resoled with the kind of shoe sole that guy would have. You want to do that shit? Do it. Do it. Oh, absolutely. You know, mazel tov. But here's the thing. First, Know what you're talking about and talk about it. Know what you're doing and do it. Know what you're listening for and listen for it. And let nature take its course. Stop being such a scaredy cat that you got to work it all out and like say your line 200 times until it sounds right. Come on. That's not interesting. What's interesting is knowing what you're talking about and then talk about it. That's interesting. I hope this has made some sense to you. I know it makes good sense to me. Anyway, thanks for listening.
You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.